Hey everybody, this is episode 137 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I'm Camila.
I'm Marcella.
And of course we're here going to talk Buffy, and it looks like Luna's there too.
She is here apparently somewhere in the background. Yeah, she's running around.
She's like, hey, hi.
Just a second ago she was like, like, what? I don't see
Maybe she
that.
Had plans. Maybe she had plans for that room.
She might have. She only just recently was allowed in here, so she was like, what the? There's another room?
There's a whole other space I haven't been in? What is
right.
this?
Right. I haven't pissed in here yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's many ways to keep up with us. We're on Facebook under Revisiting Sunnydale, Twitter at Back to Sunnydale, and Instagram at RVS_podcast. We're also on Patreon if you would like to hop on over there and show your support monetarily. And we will, if you do that, you will get to see videos of the podcast. So we're revisiting Sunnydale over on Patreon. Yeah, so basically wherever you can get your podcasts, this is where you can find us as well.
Yeah, you can ask those sentient devices, Alexa, Google, ask them. We're there.
Yeah, they're all up in your business anyway, so why not make it useful?
My hot topic for today is, do you find your love of Buffy waning?
A little bit.
Me too.
It makes me sad. Maybe
it
once
makes
we finish
me
this,
super sad.
Maybe once we wrap this podcast up, and then separate ourselves a little bit from it for a little while, and then we can come back and just like enjoy it passively.
Yes. Because I feel like with every episode I watch recently, it's like I'm digging that. You remember that UPN grave shot where Buffy like climbed out of the UPN? It was like her hand, and it was like, Buffy lives. And I feel like I'm putting her in that grave every episode. A little bit more. I'm packing it away. Because 5 to 10 years ago, let's say, I used to watch this show almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was my bedtime viewing.
Right.
And I would just cycle through the seasons. And when it was done, I would start it all over again.
Right.
I don't do that anymore.
No, I don't either. Like my bedtime shows are either Law and Order or Psych. And, you know, I haven't like just sat and watched Buffy just for scuzz in a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was a point in time, even when we started the podcast, like maybe the first couple seasons or whatnot, I would still go on and like watch more episodes after the one that we were supposed to be watching. So,
yep.
I don't know.
Not anymore. Now
like,
I'm like,
even
stop. Just stop. It's as so many things in the past have a tendency to do, it's become tainted. And today's eyes see things that I didn't before. And it gets harder and harder to watch it knowing certain things. I keep like there's certain projects I can separate the artist from the art. You know, I can, you know, Tom Cruise movies. I can hate you.
Right. Yeah.
But I can still enjoy the movie.
Yeah, exactly. This, like I don't see it for Tom Cruise at all, but I really loved Mission Impossible movies.
Right? And there's a new one coming and it looks amazing.
I know. But like for like but like R. Kelly and Kevin Spacey, I can't watch Kevin Spacey anymore. I haven't listened to an R. Kelly song in God knows how long. Like it's just
One comes on randomly and I'm like who sings this one again? No, we gotta turn that off.
Yeah, no, get rid of it.
Right. But like there's certain things that lie outside of my normal area of forgiveness. It's the way certain things are shot or changes that were made or jokes that are made. And it's like patterns that I see now that I didn't then.
Right.
And it's making it so much harder.
And also, like, for me, it's learning certain things about the creators and actors involved as well. Like, I'm a little too close to some of, like, that as well as, you know, and just like, now seeing, like, everything. It's like, they were all in a very toxic work environment. Like, just thinking about, like, how Joss was treating them. Because before, like, we go in, like, years ago, we went in and was like, oh, it must have been so fun. Like, you guys just got to, like, do all this awesome stuff together. And Joss seems like he's an all right guy and blah, 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 blah. But we were being gaslit for years.
Gaslit for years. No matter what people say, the fact that everyone agrees that there was a policy that he was not to be left alone in a room with Michelle Trachtenberg, I'm done. We're out.
Right. Right.
Like nothing, I don't care, like, what right. led to that decision being made.
Exactly.
The fact that everyone knew that was a rule, it's so tainted, and I just want to hug her and be like, baby girl.
What? I know. It's so it's so fucked up that that was a thing, and it was just like, and everybody went along with it. Like, what?
Right.
Like,
they continued to make this show. Like, back then we were like, man, Sarah, you're a piece of shit. Why did you quit? Right. Maybe there was a reason she quit this toxic work environment.
Right, exactly. So, you know what? I'm like, to take this time to Miss Sarah Michelle Gellar, I would like to apologize to you for anything ill and out of pocket I said about you 20 some odd years ago when the show went off the air.
There's no statute of limitations on apologies, and we would like to issue 2 to you right now.
My bad. That was
my bad. I mean, the light is on, and I can see.
It's so bright. It hurts.
So yes, that's my hot topic for today. It's getting harder and harder.
Yeah. So with that said,
I know a lot of different people. I know a lot of different people went into making this show, and it's not all on, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of creative talent behind this show, and that's what I'm trying to get back to.
Right, but it still hurts, and it's still difficult at times. Like, yes, there were like hundreds of people involved in the show being made, and not everybody, I'm hoping, was a trash bag. And so, you know, like, I just hate for that. I mean, it's just, you know, one piece of shit will ruin everything, so it doesn't really...
And it's not like I can say, yeah, hundreds of people were involved in this show. Does that mean they all knew? Like, if then fuck you all. Because
right, then it's also like, well, hundreds of people were involved in
right. You can't tell me, like, a handful of people. No. No one is quiet on a film set. Shit gets around.
Right. That's wild. So, with that, hopefully you guys, listeners out there, you haven't completely lost all hope in, finishing this journey with Buffy with us, because we're like halfway through season 7, halfway through the final season. We're almost there, guys. Please stick with us.
But tell us what you think, because I'm interested to know if it's happening to you guys as well. If, you know, because there are new Buffy fans and old Buffy fans. So let us know in all of the comment sections.
Right. Everywhere. Think. Or you can just send us an email at revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com. So today we're going to talk about Season 7, Episode 11, Showtime. Original air dates, January 7th, 2003. Written by David Fury, directed by David Grossman. Buffy has to keep the ever-increasing number of potential slayers from panicking while Giles and Anya seek answers from the...
Botox's eye.
Botox's eye.
I love that she calls it Botox's eye.
So our guest stars and co-stars are Anthony Head as Giles, Tom Lank as Andrew, Iriana Lumen as fucking Kennedy, Clara Bryant as Molly, Felicia Day as Vi, Indigo as Rona, Amanda Fuller as Eve, and Camden Toy as Uber Vamp. I think there was somebody else in there too, but
yep, we don't care about her. She's stupid. There is an endless list of potentials, like, from this point on. And as they die, we don't have to talk about every one of them.
Right. Not everyone gets a name. Not everyone gets a reason. Not everyone gets acknowledged. It's just dems the rules. That's just the way of the world.
Yep.
The way of the world.
Unmarked grave somewhere in Sunnydale.
So we start off with Rona arriving. It's March 2020, and
and we have a person of color in Sunnydale alone at night.
What? At the ever, like, that was the so popular bus station, which bus, I guess, you know, I guess we've been at the airport a couple times, but it just seems like more people arrive via bus to Sunnydale than anything else.
Yeah.
So Rona gets there and she's like looking up the phone number on a payphone. For those of you like, out there she's looking in a phone book.
Right. This is crazy. Like, just recently, they took the last remaining phone booth out of New York City.
Yes.
Just like over the past weekend. So it's crazy that she's using a phone booth because they don't exist in New York anymore.
Wow.
I thought, if you're being chased by a killer down the streets of New York and you've lost your phone, you know what the fuck I would like? A phone!
Exactly. You know, I feel like, yes, we don't need them everywhere, but, you know, a couple of hot spots would be cool to just have a regular old phone landline somewhere. Like, it really couldn't have been costing that much to keep them operated. Just, you know, a handful just sprinkled about.
Right.
And you might need them. So, Rona's, I guess she's looking up Buffy's number in the phone book. Somebody's ripped that page out in preparation for somebody looking for Buffy. But my thing is like, she was told to go there, but nobody gave you Buffy's number?
Right.
or address?
And like, those dudes have no eyes. How did they see to rip out the page?
Right. How did they know?
How did they know which page? Did they just assume that Summers was so many pages in?
Somebody counted. They just counted. 5,772. 5,000.
They got there at 8 a.m. That's about right. Why not just take the whole book? Like,
right. It would be hilarious if Buffy's number was on the next page. Like, right.
And what was, like, what were they going to, oh, shucks, the number's not here. I won't go to the next phone booth. Did they go to every phone booth in town? But she's immediately attacked.
Immediately. But lucky for her, Buffy knew she was a-coming and got there and helped to, to kill them. She kills the bad guys. And Rona's like, what? And Buffy's like, hey, next time you get attacked. And Rona's like, huh?
The fuck? The next? I'm going to get back on this bus.
Right.
And go about my business. Because
I was told I'd be safe. This isn't right.
And you know what? First, why are you sending the B squad? You got this Uber vamp. Buffy's already gotten her ass kicked by the Uber vamp. Why did you send the Harbingers?
Right. For her? Like, I don't even think they are necessary at this point. Like,
no.
Like, you guys are really just kind of taking up space now. And just, I mean, is it because they're so expendable? Like, are there hundreds of them? And
I think the first just likes a long movie. There's no, like, you could have ended this in a weekend, and instead we're taking a month.
Back at the ranch, Willow's sleeping on the floor of her own damn room while fucking Kennedy is on her bed.
And you know what? She could have just gone in Buffy's room and slept in Buffy's bed.
Right.
You've been friends since like sophomore year of high school. You're telling me you couldn't share a bed and let her and the other potentials bunk in your room or go slept in Dawn's room?
Right.
Why is she in your bed?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. And also, it seems like Buffy's not doing a lot of sleeping. So I feel like Buffy's whole bed is vacant. And while all this is going on downstairs, the rest of the potentials are all up chatting. And we got a new one, Eve.
She's so southern. In her.
It's like, what part of the South is she from? Like 1812? Because this is a southern. This is a southern dialect I've never heard in real life.
It is like when someone says they're southern. This is the voice you hear in your head.
Right.
This is not how southern people actually speak.
Right. It's very rare that you find someone who's actually speaks like this.
So everyone is squatting at Buffy's, and I'm hoping people are pitching in for food, water,
right?
You know, because they are just squatting.
Yeah,
and Xander's, they're all on the couch, telling stories. Yes, Xander's on the couch, and poor Andrew is still tied to a chair. Why is this poor boy still tied to a chair? He's helping now.
Yeah, like he deserves to be. Be vertical and sleep. Right. Like, can he rest?
Right.
Can he rest?
You decided to let him stay.
But no, you're going to be tied to that chair for 24/7. Like, this poor thing. Zero respect.
And they're talking shit on Buffy. They're talking about how Molly ran away. And Molly, we only actually see in the previously on in this episode because she got her ass killed the last week. And So they're all talking about how Buffy let her get killed. I'm sorry. She did not let her get killed.
Right.
She went off on her own and got her ass killed.
Right. Buffy didn't know she was gone. What was she supposed to do? No. Tie her to a chair? Like, she didn't. Right? Like, nobody, everyone was like, oh my God, Molly's gone. It's like, Buffy was in a whole nother room. Like, you guys were right there with her.
Right. You're the ones that should have been like, hey, don't go. You even waited a bit before you even told anyone that she's gone.
Because she was a smooth 12 blocks away by the time y'all told anybody.
Right. And one of you bitches probably told her to go the wrong way. Because you wanted to be head potential, Kennedy. Looking at you, Kennedy.
Right.
So Giles has a plan that they need to go see the Baljox's eye, which Buffy adorably calls Botox's eye.
Yes.
And Anya is like, no, I told you no.
I guess this thing is like, can only be accessed by demons, and it knows like all of the secrets that's happening in the demons world or whatever, which is why it's so important that they go see him. It.
Right. And Giles thinks that Anya still has some contacts in the demon world, and she's just not happy about this situation at all.
No, not at all. But I love the scene where she and Giles actually get there. So Anya needs to talk to some demon dude who's like a barback or something, and he's like emptying trash and he's wearing his apron. Whatever. I guess he works at Willie's because he is very much a demon. Like, there's no mistaking.
Very much a demon.
He has no public face. Like, this dude is the dude. So she's trying to talk him into opening the portal for him, and he's like butthurt because I guess they had a little thing, and he thought he was gonna be her boo thing, and she was like, no, we were just fucking around. It was a massacre happening. I had a couple drinks and we partied. That was his feelings are hurt. And Giles is uncomfortable.
Very, very. I'm surprised he didn't take his glasses off, because that's his signature move.
He's annoyed and uncomfortable. And so as Anya's trying to get dude to open the portal, she's like, what if I offered up some sex? And Giles, the look on his face is like...
And Torg, this demon, is like, ew, you're human. Gross. No, thank you. Which makes me laugh so hard because she's like, what am I, a leper? I can't even give it away.
She's so salty. She's so salty. And she even makes a comment. I was like, is it my hair? Like, is it
But good old Ripper comes through in the end and makes a little comment to Torg, which makes him open the portal.
All right. I guess it was like, promises Buffy won't kill you. Like, kind of thing. And he's like, good enough for me.
And all this time, they've cleverly, throughout this entire episode, we're still playing on this idea that Giles still has not been touched or is touching anything.
Yep, his hands firmly in pocket.
Yep, firmly in pocket. Now, there is a little trivia that Anya does touch him at some point, but I didn't see it.
Gotcha.
The portal itself is this big black sucking space that's very windy, which will come back into play later.
And Anya is still very adamant about how much she hates this place. She just doesn't like anything about it.
I mean, there's a big eyeball in a cage in there. I don't like it in there either.
It's a big eyeball with multiple eyeballs. Like this.
So gross. And in the meantime, Willow gets a call from her spirit buddies, and she's so happy to talk to them that she just starts gabbing away. And I can imagine the person on the other line is like, Willow! I called for a reason. There is shit going on.
I don't have time to catch up.
Are you evil? No? Okay. Now, can you please let me tell you. And poor Andrew is still tied to the chair, but he's actually, you know, they're trying to talk to him, and Buffy gets a little scary when she is interrogating him and telling him about asking him if he's seen Misery, you know, if him.
Right, exactly.
If they, you know, if they decide to untie him and let him roam around on his own, is he going to run away? Have you seen Misery?
Yeah. Just like, because I will hobble you. I have no problems with it. I love how his response is like, yeah, but the book was much scarier because, like, at first it doesn't actually, like, doesn't compute. And then he gets it and he's like, ah, yes, okay.
Message it's received. Really scary. Because in the book, she actually cuts his feet off.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that's why he stops mid-sentence. It's because in there, she, like, in the movie, she breaks his ankles, but I believe in the book, she actually cuts his feet off.
Oh, like, my God.
So that's why he was like, There's an interesting scene between Willow and Dawn when they're trying to figure out their next step. And, like, Dawn makes a really good point. She's like, I'm not sure more scared Slayer wannabes are going to help.
Right. This doesn't translate as help.
Like, this does not translate as help.
Dawn has given a lot of gems throughout this episode. She's... I don't know how we're supposed to interpret this. Like, I mean, I guess lightweight, it kind of could seem like jealousy, but I think, like, she's genuinely scared about what could possibly happen. And just feels like, you know, she doesn't know what to do. Like, she feels at a loss, like, for everybody, basically. I mean, it's not even just like, you know, oh, I'm Dawn, I don't know what to do, but, it's like,
and they're sowing the seeds of, like, Dawn is this. We'll see it a lot in the next episode. It's like everyone around her is superpowered.
Except Xander.
Except for Xander, Mr. Everyman. And I guess they carry that thread on into the comic by giving her actual actually able to access her key powers in the comic, which I wish they would have made part of the series.
Right. Because what's, like, the point in making her mystical and key-like and everything and not allow her to use the butt, like, not give these powers to her?
Right. So you're telling me Glory can access this key part of her, but she can't? The potentials are all down in the basement training.
Oh, my God. And there's just, they do nothing but complain and bitch and moan and whine.
And yet there's something happening where, you know, everyone is complaining, and Eve is all like, we're gonna die. We all should just... We can't fight this, y'all. This is bad. We gonna die. And it's like, why is she so...
Why are you, like, the extra Debbie Downer? Like,
why are you like this?
Like, this.
And within five seconds, find out why.
Right. This is more than just being worried for your life. This is like, you're questionable. You're behaving a little weird.
You're poking and prodding a little weird. I don't think I like it.
And so we also we also find out that Rona didn't have a watcher. So she has no idea, like, what. So who told her to go to Sunnydale?
Right.
Like, she said she was attacked. She didn't find out she was a potential until she got attacked by one of those Harbingers. Did they tell you? Did they stop and tell you why they were attacking you or something?
Go to Sunnydale. We'll catch up with you there. Here's some bus fare.
Right. It's like, and as a matter of fact, like, those Harbingers got to the bus depot, like, awfully fast. So was one just on the bus ride the whole time? With
they're in the back.
With sunglasses on and a hoodie.
And his headphones. Oh, that'd be so funny.
So poor Rona has no idea what's going on. And you know, they start to, you know, they're telling each other, like, what they each know about the whole Slayer line and what it all means and blah blah blah. And then so one of them points out, like, all we do is wait around for each other to die. Which, yes, that's kind of jacked up, but in a normal under normal circumstances, no, because they wouldn't know each other. Like, it's not like, unfortunately, there's not, like, a Slayer's retreat, which I feel like would be helpful.
Right. Right. And it's, you wouldn't even know that another one, I feel like you wouldn't know about them until the previous one died. The only one that's sitting around waiting for one of you to die is Faith.
Right.
Faith is come on. It's me.
Any day now.
It's my turn.
Any day now. I deserve this. I earned this.
Otherwise, Nah, you're not waiting. You don't know what you're talking about. They're not like Padawans. They're not. No, you're not. No. No. But Eve is dead.
Buffy and Xander. Dead. Buffy and Xander go pick up the new potential, and oh snap, she's dead. And then oh snap, it's Eve.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, real dead. She's like blue. It doesn't even look like the same actress that is sitting in the other room. Like they rolled her over, and I was like, who that? Am I supposed to know who that is? That's, and then they cut to Eve, who's all like, hee, 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 hee. Which I question, can the first be in multiple places at multiple times?
Right, that's what I was wondering, too.
So like, his brain, the brain can just split off and talk to Spike and be Eve, hanging out 24 hours a day?
Yeah, that's right, because Eve is supposed to be there the whole time.
The whole time. It's but not like yet. They're like, oh, Eve was in the bathroom when this right. happened, or you know, no, she's been there the whole time.
So what we're saying is there a second? Andrew and Dawn, they are having a little chat. Mm-hmm. Like Andrew, he's not convinced that Buffy's going to save them all, and he also points out like why is well, I also like the fact that he's like why are Slayers only girls, and he's like goes through this whole thing about how it'd be cool if a boy Slayer, blah blah blah. But he also points out that Spike is way worse of a killer than he is. And, like, why is everybody, like, trying to save him? And Dawn tries to explains to him, like, she gives him whatever, you know, tin-canned reason that Buffy has been giving everybody else. And you can look, like, the way she says it and the look on her face is, like, she doesn't fully believe that herself.
Yeah. It's just so sad that he wants a place to belong so bad he's willing to look for it anywhere.
I know. This poor thing. Like, he's so... And even, like, while they're having this chit-chat, and this is where my burn of the week comes in, you know, he's talking... He's just trying to chat with her, basically. And, like, he's trying to, like, understand what's going on. And he's trying to, like, be like, I... Like, can we put me in the game, coach? Like, I can help, and I'm trying to understand everything. But then he also just switches over to trying to like geek chat with Dawn.
Yeah.
He's like talking about something that I don't even know what it is. And she's like, looks at him. She's like, is there a language that you're speaking? And he just gets so deflated. He's like, I'm so alone. And then she's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have killed your only friend. It's like, she's so right. That is the exact
thing. She's so right. It's all right, and it hurts so bad. It hurts so much.
So yeah, so Andrew is having a lot of feelings right now, and it's just that moment, like Buffy and Xander come home, and Buffy's like all, you know, like got this look on her face, not telling anybody anything, just like looking for Eve. And so, but Andrew was laying on the couch, and when she comes in, he like pops up and dusts off the couch where his feet were.
And y'all have cell phones, so I don't understand when you got yeah. to the hotel room why you didn't just call home and be like, the first is in the house, I'm on my right. way.
Right. Or even, you know, if there was no cell phone, I'm sure that that cheap motel room had a phone.
Right.
they had
but
a
no,
landline.
You let the first continue to infect the minds of these potential slayers for a good another 20 minutes, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and
yeah,
the
Buffy
first
confronts.
Is having none of it. Like, bitch, please.
She is so unbothered by any and everything. She's like, all right, yeah, so it's me. She doesn't try to like fake the funk or anything like that. She's like, yep, I'm the first. Mm-hmm. She's like, thanks for the sleepover. It's been awesome. I'm sending some representatives over tonight once the sun goes down. be cordial. Let them in. Just, you know. And I'll see you bitches later.
Right? And why aren't they all like,
They seem right. They seem a lot less concerned. Like the rest of the potentials are just standing there watching her make her little speech, and I would have been gone. And but Andrew,
I would have been
up.
Like,
right.
And then found out you can't touch her. So like, what the fuck? I quit.
Right. Yeah. Nobody tried to fight it at all. Uh-uh. And Andrew like runs back upstairs, says, "I have to clean up again."
I love him so much.
So we have to understand.
Like, I wonder if he peed himself.
Right.
Did he shit himself?
We're going to understand. We're to understand that he may have peed his pants.
Mm-hmm. Because he peed his pants.
Pee-pee time. Pee-pee and pants time.
we're back at Eyeball Man.
It's super windy. Okay. The dude is like talking in riddles, and he's like telling Giles and Anya that basically, like, this is all happening because, what's it? He says that he can't tell the future, only what is true of the past and now. And Anya's like, that's memory.
She's so annoyed. She is so annoyed to be there. She cannot stand it.
But he basically says something mystical has happened that's like turned, let's like fuck this whole thing up. And basically what it boils down to is because Buffy lives again, because they brought her back from the dead.
Again.
Because she jacked up the Slayer line again. And so now this is all happening. And all the baby Slayers are sitting at the table, and there's, again, with the just more endless complaining and whining and crying and we can't and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the adults leave the room and silently stand in the kitchen.
And at the time we're like, the fuck are they doing? Why? Right. But we will find out later what they're doing.
So like as the bad guys get there, it's like it's Uber Vamp and Harbingers. The gang starts to prep for battle. Buffy decides to just Andrew asks for a weapon. She gives him holy water. Rona complains some more. Like Buffy gives her a whole sword, and she's like, "What am I supposed to do with this? What the fuck you think you're supposed to do with it?"
And Andrew's over here like, "I will take it."
Right.
You want to trade? All I got is holy water.
And then, poor Willow is facing her fears. She's like practicing floating a candle, and you know, Kennedy is making inappropriate advances. Like, not the time.
So many inappropriate advances.
Not the time.
All the time.
She's like, "Oh, I heard you used to be it. You did some magic, got all big and bad." And Willow's like, "Yeah, shit wasn't cute." And she was like, "I would like to see." And Willow's like, "No, you wouldn't."
We hate her so much. We hate her so much.
She's the worst. So they attack, finally. And Willow starts to cast a spell that's shielding the Uber Vamp from coming in, but they're all just kind of standing there and waiting. As Willow was like, "I can't hold it." And they're just standing. And then at the last minute, they decide to run.
I don't know why they stand around and wait. Hotline.
Somebody would have to yell to me like, "Willow has the barrier up." Okay.
You're right. I would have already been a Jack in the Box eating some nuggets and fries. Like, "Oh, he's in the house already? I got you a Frosty." What? The only smart one was Cordelia. Remember when she was like, "I made it through three counties before I realized no one was chasing me."
Exactly.
That's how you act.
That's how it goes. That's
how you danger survive. Comes.
Exactly.
Or so they're all running. For some reason, you always live.
Yeah.
How did he not get axed? He gets attacked by one of the Harbingers, and he should have been axed.
Yeah, I don't understand. But they're going off and battling in the backyard. Then they decide to. Buffy's like, "You take him off. You, everybody else, go somewhere. I'm gonna go try to, like, you know, lead this Uber Vamp away from you all." And they go off, and you know, Xander's like, "I know of a safe space." And again, with the complaint, there's so much complaining from people who have no better ideas or and don't have super strength. Like, I need y'all to like be a little more proactive. I need you to like work with me here. You guys are really...
I need you to just go ahead and deal with you. I'm going to go deal with me. If you don't want to listen to what I have to say,
right,
then you go deal with you.
Right, because quite frankly, I didn't invite you here.
Right. Right. This is not my situation. This is actually yours. I'm pretty sure they're not going to chase me.
Right. So
and I'm just trying to help you.
So what you want to do is, I need you to be a little more respectful and helpful. So they get to the construction site, and Uber Vamp and Buffy arrive, and the girls get ready to fight, but Willow's like, "Don't, just watch." And it seems like Buffy's going to talk the Uber Vamp to death.
again. I'm going to be the one that's like, can I just go? I don't really need to watch. I'd rather just go.
No, and I'd rather leave and find safer space.
And where did the Harbingers go? Were they just like, he's got this?
Right. Yeah, it's fine. This was union break.
It would have been better if, like, the Harbingers were on one side of the construction site. The Slayers were on the other side.
There's, like, signs. Uber vamp. Uber vamp.
Sharks and jets. Everybody starts snapping. And I got to give it up to Camden Toy for coming up with the most ridiculous run I've ever seen a vampire do. He's like chasing her with this weird gallop with his
hands. So bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
So they fight, you know, after Buffy.
It is a good fight.
It's a really good fight. You know, Buffy's like, this is welcome to Thunderdome. And Andrew's like, two men enter.
One man leave.
But they fight, and it's a really good fight, and it goes on for a minute. And then finally Dawn realizes, like, wait a minute, this was planned. You guys wanted this to happen. This is how it's supposed to happen. And then we flash back to the Silent Kitchen gathering. And actually, Willow was talking to them telepathically.
In the most convenient storyline power ever. She never uses this power.
She used it once.
Once. On top of the graveyard. That's the only other time we see it.
Right. It's like, why can't we do this more often, Willow?
Right?
This seems very useful.
In the episode when she went bad, why was Xander not, like, speaking to her in her mind instead of trying to speak to her out loud?
Right. And also, when it was, like, same place, same time, she probably could have spoken to them telepathically.
Yeah.
Oh, shame on you all.
She did use it in that she started at that conversation, I think, when the room is turning, when she's Dark Willow.
Mm-hmm.
I think she starts that conversation in their mind.
Yeah.
And then when it ends, she's outside of their mind. So it's such a convenient power that she should just be using all the time.
I would probably never speak aloud again.
Never.
If I could do that. Mm-mm.
My favorite response is Xander's, who's scared shitless. What? Like, be cool, man. Be cool.
It's like, that's about right.
Yep. And the problem is Buffy feels like she's losing control. You never had control, Buffy. You're not losing them. You have lost them.
Yeah.
They showed up lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for some reason, I don't know what pep talk she heard or who she was talking to, but suddenly she has it in her mind that even though she got her ass beaten, almost died last week, that suddenly she can take on this Uber vamp and she's going to win this time.
Right. I mean, she does, but...
She does. Like, she full on does.
I don't completely understand her thought pattern.
Me neither. As to why.
And especially, she's still working without having brought any weapons to the fight. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just kind of going on whatever she picks up around the site. Yeah. Which, you know, she ends up beheading the thing. With, like, some barbed wire or something. And then she's like, see? Just dust. Like, Buffy... That thing, like, took you to battle. Like, you don't act like this was just some easy peasy thing now. We all watched it. Let's not be foolish.
And, like, 2 + 2 = 4. But you're a 2 and I'm a 1.
Right.
So, this math. I am not trained like you. You can do that.
Right. You got, like, 7, 8 years on them. Like, this is just, like, full-on, like, actual training. Like, relentless training. Like Giles had a great plan with you.
Yeah. And I don't have 7 or 8 years to get up to your 2 level.
Right. We got about 7 hours. And I don't, like, what are we doing?
Although... You know, here's another power that Willow doesn't use that she could have right away. And when she was Dark Willow, she didn't have the power to beat Buffy. And then it was like, oh, now I do. Now I am strong enough to beat you.
Right.
So why not just magically give the potentials. I know they eventually do that spell and whatnot. Right. They're all stronger. But in the meantime, why not give them the spell to just at least let them know Taekwondo, karate, basic boxing. Like, you know, it's like the Matrix. Dial them up and give them some.
Right.
Why are
give
we training them in the backyard
just
or basement?
A little bit. Just like, a little bit of something. So
just a little bit of something. A little bit of knowledge. We don't got to go full Slayer. But we don't need Molly.
Right.
Like, she's the worst. I mean, well, Vi might be. Vi's adorable. Felicia Day. Hello, yeah. Felicia Day. Welcome to Buffy. Welcome right. to our lives. But Vi, especially in the next episode, Vi is adorable in the next episode, training with Spike.
That's right.
She's so cute. But she's like one of the weaker ones. And it's just, we don't have time for this.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I know I said the first likes to play a long game and likes a long movie. But I mean, but still, clock is still ticking.
Yeah. Like while he's doing this long game, he's still picking off a potential at a time.
Right. And he's still fucking with Spike for who knows why. Why is he so important?
I still do not completely understand why Spike is so important to everybody in this scenario. Like, why?
Is eye candy?
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, is Spike specifically needed for all of life, for something? Like, do we need a vampire with a soul? Do we need a vampire? Do we just need Spike? Because mm-hmm. like, I don't understand fully what's happening right now. Is it yeah. like, do we really think that, does the first really think that Buffy has that much of a relationship with Spike that she's really going to like come get him? Like, I don't, and you know, and Buffy's all, you know, Spike is important because the first was fuck has him as a trigger. Well,
mm-hmm. I think, but why?
Right. But why though? And the first has been fucking though? With everybody. So yep. why?
It's and not there is, just there like, is a, there's a beeline through this episode that we haven't really talked about because it's boring as shit. And it's just Spike on his back. Having different visions that Buffy's going to come save him.
Right.
And the first is just like, I am not. And he's just like, she will come save me.
She's going to save me.
And then first... she does.
Yes.
At the very end of the episode, she does come and save him.
And at first he thinks it's the first again. Yeah. But then she's like, it's you.
Because she's standing there all creepy with a big-ass knife, not really saying anything or moving. And he's just like, ah, forget it.
That's not how you go save people. That's not how you save people, Buffy.
But then she comes up and she actually cuts the ropes. And he's like, the fuck? You're real.
It's you, poke, poke.
And then he's just kind of sad.
Yeah, he collapses into her arms, sort of, and they limp off. Mm-hmm. I guess the whole thing.
Looking at him like, I am here, it's okay.
But once again, why? Because I don't even think that it turns out to be, like, when they look further into Spike's trigger, and this whole sleeper cell thing, that it helps in any way?
No.
Like, why?
No.
Like, to defeat anything? Like, it just...
And it doesn't... It's not like he has special blood that is needed to open that seal of Danthazar. It's just a certain amount of blood is needed
right.
to open that seal. So I think he is just eye candy for everyone.
Yeah.
I think the first needed a plaything and was just like, hee-hee-hee, I can mess with you.
Yeah.
You're so fun. You're so scarred. Look at your psyche. It's all fucked up.
Right, exactly. I guess that's probably, that makes the most sense. Because, yeah, he was already kind of battered and broken coming into the mess. Coming in. Mm-hmm. And so now they're like, let me just stick my finger in there and swirl yeah. around a little bit more yep. in that brain of yours. So that's it.
That's it. Fade to black.
Fade to black.
I don't remember hearing any actual music.
Yeah, I didn't hear any either.
My burn this week is a hilarious little dig at a separate franchise, and Andrew says, I'm bored. Episode 1 bored. Lovely little dig on Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace.
So rude, but so correct.
So rude. It's so rude. He's throwing so much shade.
Shots fired. Then, shots fired.
Yeah, big shots fired. Your burn is psychologically burning and bruising. Your burn hurts my soul.
But it's more like, you know, it's like kind of a two-parter, because the first part was like just Dawn's whole face, and she's like, is there a language that you're speaking?
Right.
She's like, why are you still talking to me? Why?
Because you're here and I'm bored.
Bored. Episode one, bored.
I'm bored. Maybe you shouldn't have killed your friend. And there's a part in this episode that always, it bothers me, because when he wants to weapon up, he, you know, she gives him the holy water. But then I think in either the next episode or the episode after that, they give him shit for putting the knife that he stabbed Jonathan with in with their cutlery. They're so like, put your murder weapon in with our steak knives? Where's this knife when you're gearing up?
Right. Why does he have
Did
it?
Did he go home and get his stuff and come back?
Is it packed an overnight bag and then came back?
I don't get it. There is a lot of death in this episode.
So much.
There's a ton of bodies dropped. And thank you to the Buffy Wiki for putting them all together. We had two of the harbingers of death that Buffy killed with a dagger. One, she snapped its neck, because I guess that kills them. Eve was killed by those same harbingers. One was killed by Xander with an axe. One was killed by Kennedy with a crossbow. Buffy stabbed a different one. And then Buffy beheaded the Turrican with a wire. That's a lot of death.
It is. And yes, this does pass the Bechdel test with all the potentials and all their whining about, you know, when they're in the basement talking about being activated and all that stuff.
Yeah. Good on them for that one. The random trivia this week is, when the Turrican bursts into the Summers' residence, the string that is tied to the door is clearly visible, so that when he kicks it in, you can actually see the string when the door bursts back.
Oh my god!
That's almost as bad as the hand on Giles' car that one time when they're driving
right?
around.
Yes!
And my moral of this story is to just make sure your friends aren't dead before you let them in the house.
Whatever you got to do to test that theory, do it. Make them touch stuff.
Yeah. Make them touch stuff. Everybody's got to give the handshake when they come in the
right.
door. Like that teacher that has a different handshake with each one of his kids.
Yes.
Each friend needs their own handshake. And if one goes wrong,
you're out. You will not.
You're out.
Hey, so I guess the Turrican doesn't need to be invited into the house.
Guess not. I guess if you kick the door down, the door does not exist. There's no door. No idea.
Whatever. What's the next episode?
Potential.
Is this the one where Andrew's documentary?
No, that's storytelling.
Damn it.
My favorite.
Oh, we still got
Potential is the one where we meet Amanda.
Oh, yes. Okay. So this one's a little more interesting. This is.
Yeah, this one is pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. Cool beans. Well, God. Let us know what you thought of Showtime. Let us know what you think of Showtime. And also, like, the question we asked at the top of the show about, you know, are you still feeling love for Buffy? Because personally, I'm getting sick of Google suggesting, like, all these different think pieces about Buffy. I mean, just because I Google some stuff and I talk about it for an hour every other week or whatnot, like, it's like, oh, the 12 characters you didn't know. Like, I know. Like, most of the stuff is like, I already know. Like, so, stop.
And I see there's like, so everyone's been talking about the Twilight resurgence that's been happening, because Twilight is now on Netflix and Ashley Greene is doing a podcast where she's going back and revisiting each movie, and have a YouTube channel where they're showing the podcast. And I'm like, we did it first! Maybe not first, but we did it early!
Right, yeah. It's like, can we not, like, I think it's unfair for the people, the actors and creators to actually go and do that.
Right?
Like,
right?
You guys have information that we can't compete with.
Right! Come to our show. But so now there is, like, I feel like there's this Buffy resurgence happening on YouTube with reactors. I see a lot of reactors watching Buffy for the first time. And I want to be like...
Like, we've been I know. It's like, but it's also like, we've been at this for so long, but it's also like, we don't want to be stingy, but still.
Well, sometimes, I mean, find us an audience, guys. That's what we want from you, because the normies are out here reacting to episodes, getting hundreds, thousands of views every day, and we're just little old us trying to get... Just trying to get a cookie. I don't want the whole bone. I just want a cookie.
Give me a cookie. Sometimes get a cookie.
So like, follow, subscribe, share, do all that stuff that we've asked you to do.
Like 1,000 times before. And yes, you know, interact with us. And if you have some thoughts and questions and comments you want to share with us via email, revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com is the best place to do that.
Yep.